I'd like to ask a question tonight. Why study the Bible? Now, many of you will give me a short answer on that. Well, the Bible commands it. And yes, I'm aware of that. But I should like to widen the question a good bit. What purposes do the fervent, diligent, determined study of the Bible serve? Why should we persevere in this action? I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter gives us one of these purposes, and we will see many more before we're through here tonight. In chapter 2, Peter says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." All right, he tells us here that one reason for desiring Bible study is to grow. Now, he definitely presents in verse 1 the necessity of turning your back upon some things. You turn away from what is wrong, you turn to God's holy word. And in seeking help in Scripture, you are gaining food, spiritual food, food that will help you grow into a stronger believer than you are now. Now, the image he uses as newborn babes, we all know that when a newborn desires milk, he expresses that most vigorously. And you mothers know that there is no thing that will satisfy that child except the milk. And he is going to demand it. He's got to have it. I'm afraid we don't come to the Scriptures with that same urgent, insistent purpose. Now, the Bible is a good thing, and we like to read it, and so on. We're being obedient in reading it. But the driving urge that image presents to us is something very different. You young mothers especially know just how determined the child can be to get food. He'll sit there and scream. If you don't pay attention, he'll make a scene for you. He wants that food. I'm afraid we don't feel that way about the Scriptures. We read the Bible, and it's great, and so on, and we can lay it aside and kind of ignore it for a while, whether deliberately or accidentally. But the picture that is here is a persistent, determined, periodic study of God's Word. And that newborn is not going to be patient about the matter. That does present us with an interesting picture for our own study of God's Word. Do we understand that this book is absolutely necessary for our existence? That this book is something we must have in order to survive? We tend to look at Bible reading with a very relaxed attitude. It's good, and... But here it's presented as an absolute necessity, something that sustains life. Now, friends, that is exactly what the Bible does for us. It sustains our spiritual life. And this is something that sometimes Christians forget. But we all know of, quote, Christians who have had a good testimony for the Lord and who have just let their Bible reading diminish. And after a while, everything diminishes. Their testimony, their fervency, and their ability to serve, everything deteriorates. And we look at that and we say, oh, how terrible, you know. But that can happen to any of us. If we don't have this sense of the child, the baby, that we must have food. We need it every day, and not just one time. That baby wants regular feedings. And you mothers know you set the clock for that one, boy. You're trying to forestall all that outburst. You're trying to have dinner ready on time. And we don't look at it that way. It's something we do, and we can also skip on occasion. But the newborn doesn't skip it. We shouldn't skip it either. So, if this is our food, then that means we should be considering a balanced diet. a very determined and persistent study of the Word that we might gain the kind of spiritual strength that we need. Hence, many good Christians persevere in reading through the Scriptures every year. They read so many chapters each day, and this is great. But remember, that is no substitute for a persistent and determined study that goes beyond just a few chapters. If you're thinking of food, you don't just think in terms of one nice meal a day. You think in terms of three nice meals a day. And you housewives especially organize and plan very carefully such a diet. What about studying Scripture determinedly and persistently and doing it more than just once a day? Well, a lot of people say, oh, you know, I have to work for a living. Yes, yes, I understand that. We all do. But nonetheless, we manage to show up at physical meals pretty regularly. We kind of set aside time and we're there and we kind of expect there to be food on the table. But we don't treat Scripture that same way. According to this, that's a pretty good idea. Determined, persistent reading of Scripture. Systematic, daily, every time you can get there, reading the Scriptures. Now, friends, the study of the Bible is your life. It is where your spiritual strength is going to come from. And if you don't have it, you're going to have spiritual weakness instead. Anybody who systematically skips meals, systematically fails to show up for proper food, sooner or later it begins to be apparent. They start to get thin, irritable, they have lapses in memory. All kinds of things happen because of lack of regular food, and all kinds of spiritual things happen for lack of spiritual food. We want to head off all of that and pursue a determined study of God's holy word. Now, having looked at that, let me trace something through Scripture for you and go back to Psalm 119 to do this, because this is a theme that is found all through Scripture, and I want us to examine different aspects of this. In Psalm 119, if we may drop down to verse 105, the psalmist says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." All right, why should we read Scripture? Because we need spiritual guidance. We are traveling a pathway in a spiritual sense. We have left a destination behind us, as John Bunyan phrased it. It was that terrible city, the worldly city, and we have turned our back upon that, and we are now heading toward a different city. And it's a rough pathway. There are many pitfalls and dangers. There are all kinds of diversions and false sidetracks that can get us off the pathway. And so here, "Thy word is the lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path," and it implies the path is dark. It implies that we need some light shining upon it. Let's face it, friends, many times we are called upon to travel dark pathways, and we need a light. Now, today, when we think of a lamp, we think of an electric torch that will light up a huge stretch of pathway before us, and the ancient world knew nothing about that. The torch or the lamp that was there was something that would shed light upon the next step. And that is what Scripture does for us. It doesn't tell us what we're going to be doing 10, 20 years down the pathway. It tells us what we do next. This is our responsibility. Here is something we must do, and the light shines upon our duty now. It solves problems for us that way by showing us where the correct step is ahead of us. And as we choose that and take that step, the light advances to another step, and we see something further that we should be doing. Step by step, this book guides us. It is not a prophecy of our whole life. God doesn't give that to us. He does show us what we need to do now. And when we're obedient, the Word shows us what we need to do next. And step by step, it keeps us in the pathway of God's will. Now, friends, that is tremendous value for us. We can all think back to times when we failed to look at the Word and we impulsively stepped forward out of eagerness or greed or whatever other motive and discovered there were some terrible pitfalls there, that if we had just read the Word and let that guide us, we could have avoided. But we didn't, and oh, what pain we brought upon ourselves. And so this blessed book illuminates our life, shines upon the pathway, and helps us to choose wisely where we are going and what we are doing, and the determined path that we should have for our entire life. Now, friends, that's a very important part of it. We must seek His guidance. Only He knows the future. Only He knows where we must be to be in the path of greatest blessing, greatest service, greatest benefit to others. But He does know all of that, and His Word can help us arrive at that path. In Acts chapter 17, dropping down to verse 10, the brethren sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Now, here we see the Scriptures lead to faith, trust in God. Because these people nobly searched the Scriptures, persistently sought out what Paul was teaching, trying to discover whether this agreed with what Scripture taught elsewhere, they discovered that it did, and therefore many of them believed. They had a strong faith because it was based upon what the Bible said, not on their guesses, not on their presuppositions, but on the clear teaching of Scripture that Paul was giving them. Now, friends, we walk by faith. We walk a pathway that we have not walked before. Now, we don't know what kind of obstacles are there. We don't know what kind of enemies may be waiting for us. We do know the God who holds the Scripture and the future in His hand, and through this blessed book, He can show us exactly where we should be and what we should be doing. This is faith. We trust God to guide us properly. Now, people may mislead you. You may not trust someone else to give you directions. They may have good intentions even, and still give you accidentally misleading steps. But God never does that. He never gives you misleading instructions. His Word always tells you the truth. This is reality. And as you see that and recognize what He has done and trust Him not to mislead you, you discover He never does. When we're obedient to Scripture, yes, it turns out just as He says. When we walk according to the book, yes, He blesses our pathway just as He says He will. And we must trust Him for this. We must put our full weight upon the pathway and go forward confidently that God will keep His Word. Faith is what carries us along that pathway. You can say you have faith and hang back trembling. But when you really believe, you will take that step according to the Word, and you will rest your weight firmly upon it, because God will not deceive you. He will keep His Word. And trust is what we must do. Faith is the victory. When we hang back and are worried about it, then the blessing never comes. But when we step out on His Word and respond in obedient faith, then we discover, yes, it works. It is true. He does guide us according to this blessed book. If you will turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, dropping down in the chapter to verse 18. Paul instructs us here about something that happens when we respond to Scripture. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, he's speaking about looking into Scripture, gazing into a glass, a mirror. Now, in the ancient world, they had what we would regard as rather poor mirrors. Their idea of a mirror was some metallic surface that was polished very well, and if you look at certain metals, you can see a reflection. Some of you ladies have cookware that has a very fine polish on it, and you know it can reflect. But we would regard that as kind of poor. We think in terms of that beautifully silvered glass surface that gives you a very exact image. The ancient world had nothing exactly like that, but it did know about reflections. Sometimes in water, sometimes in metal, reflections could be useful. And so the image here is we are looking at Scripture and we're looking at a mirror. And we learn from James, when we look in a mirror, sometimes we are distressed by what we see there. We don't look as good as we thought we did. And that happens in Scripture. We look into Scripture, we think we're all right, and all of a sudden discover the image there is a whole lot different from what we had expected. And we need to change things because of that. But there is something else we see in Scripture. When we look in Scripture, we see the glory of the Lord. And we have the privilege of looking at that beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus. And there the picture is perfect. It is absolutely glorious. And as we gaze on that beautiful picture of our Lord, the Lord starts adjusting our image. And that reflection that we make becomes more like that image of the Lord Jesus. And as we gaze upon this blessed book and let our minds feast upon that picture of the Lord, He is molding us, changing us into His image, so that indeed we will look more like Jesus. Now, what a privilege to be able to gaze upon something as powerful as this book that would conform us to His image. But my friends, this is what the Bible does. As we spend time in it, as we let our minds dwell upon the Lord and His teaching, the Spirit of God is working in us, changing us so that we conform to that image. Now, what happens when we don't look at Him? When we don't open these pages? Well, we go back to our natural image. And it's easier to be unkind and thoughtless and selfish and all the rest because we haven't been looking at Him. When we look at Him, we see all the correctives to these vices, which we know we have. And when we gaze upon that image, the Spirit of God works on us inside, adjusting the portrait that it matches the Lord. Now, this is a lifetime project. This is not something you do once and it's done. It's something you do day after day, aligning yourself with the purpose of Scripture, conforming yourself to that image you see there. And we very clearly see an image in Scripture, whether it is the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament, the life of Jesus in the Gospels, the teaching in the epistles, the final consummation in Revelation. The Lord Jesus is everywhere. And as we see Him, we realize how great He is and how loving He is, how kind He is, how thoughtful He is. And as we let our minds dwell upon these things, He's working in us to make us more like Himself. This is the most powerful, fantastic idea that we can find yet in Scripture, that God uses this blessed book to make us what we ought to be, more like Jesus. Where else in this world could you find any help in that direction? There is nothing else. The portrait of the Lord Jesus is in Scripture alone. There's nowhere else for you to look if you don't see Him here. you will never be conformed to His image. In chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, dropping down to verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Here's another thing that we gain, and that is the knowledge of the glory of God. When we see the Lord Jesus, we learn what God is like. When we see that beautiful image of the Lord and become conformed to that image, now we're learning what Almighty God is like. There are so many false gods in the world, from the corrupt picture in Islam to the corrupt picture in witchcraft. There's all kinds of things in Scripture that destroy and pervert the image of the true God. But when we look in Scripture at the Lord Jesus, we're seeing what God is really like. The liberals have terribly distorted the image. They say the God of the Old Testament is a bully, and Jesus is the blessed man, and everything is humanized. But that is not true. There's a consistency all through Scripture as to the portrait of God, and the Lord Jesus is the proper portrait of God. He could say, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." When you look at the Lord Jesus, you see what kind of compassion the Father has. When you see the ministry of the Lord Jesus, you see what the Father ordained. You understand what God is like. And as you search Scripture, you become acquainted with the true God, the blessed Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you learn how great He is, and how loving and compassionate, how patient He is with our infirmities. Yes, it enlarges our understanding to see what God is truly like, and what a blessed thing to be conformed to the image of His Son, and by that become an object of the Father's love. For the Father loves the Son with an eternal love, and all those conformed to His image share that eternal love. That is why we go through this shaping in this world. We're being conformed to an image. He's making us more like the Lord Jesus. And we don't understand that. And we keep asking the Lord, "Lord, why can't I get rid of this problem? Why can't I be rid of this difficulty?" And you don't realize what these things are. These are the instruments of shaping your character. He's working away on you. You are the stone that He's fashioning. And we would like to see all that disappear. We don't want to be rubbed on like that. We want to have it easy. But He wants us properly faceted. And the rubbing goes on. And we keep praying, "Lord, make it easier. Help me to get out of this." And we don't realize what He is doing. He's conforming us to this portrait of the Lord Jesus so that that eternal love of the Father may embrace us as well as His dear Son. How wonderful, how glorious is God's purpose in His Word to use this book and circumstances and all that happens to us to conform us to such an image, the face of Jesus Christ, the image of the Father. This is His purpose. How marvelous that this blessed book does this for us. We need to look at Ephesians chapter 5. Dropping down to verse 25, we have a command that all husbands need to note very clearly. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Now here, we have a responsibility in the family that the husbands are to love their wives even as Christ loved the church. What a staggering command to give. But the purpose involved in this is what I would like to direct your attention to in verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The word cleanses us. Now, we all recognize we need daily cleansing. When you get up in the morning and look in the mirror, you are probably horrified, or should be. And it takes some time to repair the damages, okay? And we all recognize this, and we're resigned to it. You know, that's life. And so we get out the hairbrush and start working, and start the washing with the washcloth and so on. And we work at it, and hopefully look a little better when we get out in public. Now, that's precisely what the Scripture does for us. That is the cleansing that we need every day. And there we're unconscious. We don't look in the mirror and recognize how ratty we look, to use the idiom. And we presume that everything is all right. After all, we did comb our hair this morning. Well, friends, we have to keep at it all the time. I have a cowlick, I think, that I work on systematically, and it persists. And so, all of us have to recognize, spiritually speaking, we have to work on this. In the Scriptures, we gain the cleansing that we need every day. It washes away the defilement of this world, the flesh, the devil. And let's face it, we're constantly being contaminated. Our own flesh is quick to do it. The world is screaming at us everywhere. All the media is hollering at us to become worldly. The devil and his emissaries constantly injecting temptations into us. There's always continual defilement from the world. And we need the cleansing power of the Word to wash all that away. Now, having started with this thought, husbands, notice your responsibility as head of the household to see to it that you are an instrument of cleansing for your wives and families. The husband should see to it that that washing of the word is there in the family. This is something that every head of a household needs to take seriously. Just as Christ cleanses the church, so the husband is responsible to be the source of cleansing for the family, to pull out the scriptures, to see to it that the family reads that and is cleansed and helped through the scriptures. This is a constant purpose that every head of the household needs to pursue. And then, when we think in terms of the power of Scripture, we need to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul is writing to his trusted lieutenant, dearly loved disciple Timothy. And in chapter 3, verse 14, he urges him, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Yes. Here is wisdom. The highest wisdom. Now, knowledge is the understanding of many things. And there are a lot of people who know a lot who are very unwise. But wisdom is the God-given gift of knowing how to use knowledge to the blessing of man and the praise of God. And that is not just being smart. There are a lot of intelligent people in this world that are destroying themselves and others. They're intellectually brilliant, but spiritually they're total disasters. They have no wisdom at all. But this is wisdom that understands how to use knowledge, how to please God, how to be a blessing to others. And it comes from the knowledge of Scripture. Wisdom comes through the Bible. You may learn things elsewhere, but you don't learn wisdom elsewhere. The wise person knows how to please God. knows how to use his information to help others. And that comes right from Scripture. Now, what is interesting is that Timothy had a godly mother and grandmother. He lost his father at an early age, obviously. And his mother and grandmother raised him, but they raised him in the Scriptures, teaching him what he needed to know. And from earliest times, the Scripture was part of Timothy's life. And Paul obviously says this is a tremendous help for you, as we all know it is. The earlier we learn Scripture, the better. The verses you learn early stay with you the longest. And we need to recognize how important that is in the lives of children. From a child, he knew the Holy Scriptures, and they had made Timothy wise. And of all Paul's disciples, he couldn't think of one that was more faithful, more centered upon Scripture than Timothy. In any other generation, Timothy would have been one of the greatest men on the face of the earth. But he was living in the shadow of such giants like Paul and Peter, the apostles, that he's commonly regarded as a second-rate person, when Paul had tremendous regard for Timothy. And should he have been alive today instead of then, he would have been a world leader, I'm sure. But in that day, he was just a helper for the Apostle Paul. But he was one who knew the wisdom of God. And wherever there was trouble, Paul sent him. Timothy would know how to solve the problem. He knew the Scriptures. Now, friends, for all these reasons, we need to study the Scripture. We need to digest and absorb what is in this book. We need to fill our hearts and minds with this book. And we all know that. This is not news to anybody here. But friends, doing it is another step. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, if you are not reading God's Word every day, if you don't have a program by which you are going through the Bible systematically, pursuing it, will you in this quiet moment bow before God, God helping you, that you will read God's Word every day and systematically, determinedly go through it for the rest of your days and pursue the spiritual study of Scripture. If that is your heart's prayer and you need a dedication to that, would you slip up your hand and say, yes, that is my choice. God bless you. 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 Oh Lord, how we thank Thee for this blessed book. How we thank Thee for the privilege of reading Thy holy word. And we ask now, especially for these who have requested prayer, that Thy Spirit will lay upon their hearts a hunger and a thirst for Thy Word that will know no bounds. We pray that Thou wilt give them great blessing, great spiritual help through that book. May their study transform their lives. We ask for each one here who searches Thy Word. Lord, grant that they may find Thee in Thy Word. The sense of Thy presence, the sense of Thy spiritual blessing upon them as they read. Open their eyes that they may see Thy truths and see Thee in Scripture. Lord, we ask that Thy Word may become precious in our hearts. Transform us through Thy Word, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.